Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Are we born to be moralists? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are going through an article that was written by Dr. Albert Moeller. He is a Christian theologian, and he's also president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, headquartered in Louisville, Kentucky. It was titled, Moralism is Not the Gospel, but Many Christians Think It Is. And this is one of those times, folks, when I think it's good for us as Christians to do our own self-examination, because we can fall into some of the same pitfalls that we see Mormons falling into. And it would be incorrect for us to point fingers at the Mormons and ignore those same traits that are in us. That's the kind of hypocrisy and judgment that we are warned against in the New Testament. But when it comes to good works, I want to emphasize again, as a Christian, certainly we are compelled by the New Testament to live godly lives, to honor our Savior by our actions, and to abstain from behaviors that are very common in the world. But sometimes it can be very easy to assume that because a person has a lot of good works, that somehow that makes them a Christian. And I've heard Christians make this false assumption. So the reason why I felt it was important to go through this article by Dr. Moeller is because I think he hits the nail right on the proverbial head. And it's something that all of us as Christians need to take a close look at and examine to make sure that we are not just as guilty as our Mormon acquaintances might be in this subject. He's been talking about moralism and this belief that the gospel can be reduced to mere improvement in behavior. And as we read yesterday, there have been several comments made by Mormon leaders over the course of the history of the LDS Church that encourages Mormons to improve themselves. And unfortunately, while there's nothing wrong with improving yourself, there is a danger in thinking that improving yourself makes you right with God, because that's not how we're justified. That's not how we are made right with God. Certainly, that is how we are set apart in His service and how we are sanctified, but that's a completely different issue, and it doesn't matter how good you are at your sanctification, it's that justification that really matters when it comes to the forgiveness of your sins. And that can only be gained by having a faith in what Jesus did for you on the cross at Calvary. If you don't think what He did was enough, and you have to add to what He did on the cross by your alleged good works, I would say you don't understand the gospel, and that's the point that Dr. Moeller is bringing out in this article.
He continues on in the article and says, in one sense, we are born to be moralists. Created in God's image, we have been given the moral capacity of conscience. From our earliest days, our conscience cries out to us the knowledge of our guilt, shortcomings, and misbehaviors. In other words, our conscience communicates our sinfulness. Add to this the fact that the process of parenting and child-rearing tends to inculcate moralism from our earliest years. Very quickly, we learn that our parents are concerned with our behavior. Well-behaved children are rewarded with parental approval, while misbehavior brings parental sanction. This message is reinforced by other authorities in young lives and pervades the culture at large.
Oh, I think he's absolutely correct in that paragraph. Don't we as parents, you've raised three kids, I've raised three kids, I've got grandkids now, and I see what their parents are doing with them. And certainly good behavior is rewarded. Bad behavior is punished to a certain extent, depending on the crime, quote unquote, if you will. So yeah, we are kind of geared to think this way. And I think that's one of the reasons why Christianity is looked upon by many religious people as being so odd. And when you think about it, Christianity is the one religion in the entire world that doesn't place the strong emphasis on good behavior in order to get approved by the deity in which you believe. Think of any other religion. I can't think of one that does not have this obligation on the part of the believer to do certain things in order to be approved by God. Can you?
No. I have an interesting story with this. My middle daughter is a teacher at a local Utah school. She does music, and so she was talking to the kids about doing something the right way, and she made an example of one of the students who was sitting there of doing it the right way, and it was a female student. And so one of the boys in the back raised his hand and said, well, that's not fair because she's a girl and we're boys. Well, I think about that, and in essence, we are sinners at heart. All of us are. And, you know, to be compared to somebody who's doing it right when we're not able to do it right. But according to Mormonism, there are certain rules you have to obey. You have to live according to the standards and improve, as we were talking about yesterday, or you're not going to head toward the celestial kingdom.
Well, Mohler brings out in this piece, he says, the point is clear. This is what parents expect when he's talking about how in our culture good behavior is rewarded, bad behavior is punished. He says, this is what parents expect. The culture affirms, and many churches celebrate. But our communities are filled with people who have been, quote, raised right, but are headed for hell.
How many people have you talked to who no longer follow the biblical truth, but they were raised in Christian homes even, and they learned all the things they were supposed to do, but just never had that turning point in their lives. It was something that their parents made them do, and so they never learned how to own their own faith. And this is one of the big things I believe in Christian education is we've got to come to a place where we train up our children in the way they should go, but train them how to think so that they will be able to choose the right way. But how many, he says, are filled with people who have been raised right but are headed for hell?
And I think sometimes seeing a person, and I find this many times with some Christians, they'll say, I've been talking to this person and they're so close to accepting the gospel. And my first question is, how do you really know that? How do you really know what's in a person's heart? Just because maybe they stopped doing something, that makes you think that they're that close? I think sometimes there's a danger in assuming too much from individuals when it comes to even our evangelism methods. In the next paragraph, he has some very profound things to say.
He writes, the seduction of moralism is the essence of its power. We are so easily seduced into believing that we actually can gain all the approval we need by our behavior. Of course, in order to participate in this seduction, we must negotiate a moral code that defines acceptable behavior with innumerable loopholes. Most moralists would not claim to be without sin, but merely beyond scandal. That is considered sufficient.
Let's go back to where he says, in order to participate in this seduction of moralism, we must negotiate a moral code that defines acceptable behavior with innumerable loopholes. Do we not see that even with Latter-day Saints? We see what their leaders expect of them, but yet why is it when we cite what their leaders have said to them, the Mormon, oftentimes, knowing they're not meeting that standard, has to come up with all sorts of loopholes. The most common, of course, is, well, nobody's perfect.
Right.
And it's funny because usually when I hear that from a Latter-day Saint, I never use the word perfect up to that point in the conversation. How did they draw the conclusion that somehow they were expected to be perfect, yet I never used that word? It's because what I was quoting them from their leaders or even from their own unique scriptures certainly implies perfection, whether or not it uses the word.
One of my favorite tactics in evangelism is handing out the book, The Miracle of Forgiveness by Spencer Kimball. I've said that before on the show, and it's interesting when people are walking by, many of them will ignore what I'm trying to do, but then some will say, with kind of a proud idea, I already read the book. I already have the book. And so then I like to ask the question, are you doing everything that Spencer Kimball said you're supposed to do? And the number one response, I'm trying or I'm doing the best I can. And it's interesting because on page 164 and 165, Spencer Kimball answered that. He said, trying is not sufficient, nor is repentance complete when one merely tries to abandon sin. To try is weak. To do the best you can is not strong. You must always do better than you can. Those excuses don't work with Spencer Kimball, and I don't think they work with God.
I think that story that you just told fits very well with what Dr. Moeller says here. He says most moralists would not claim to be without sin, but merely beyond scandal. That's an interesting way of putting it, because a Mormon is probably looking at themselves, and I would say a lot of Christians probably do too, and a Mormon might recognize that, okay, maybe I'm not living up to all those standards, but nobody really knows. There's no scandal involved. In other words, my behavior hasn't crossed the line to where everyone knows that I've blown it, and now I bring embarrassment and shame upon myself, upon my family, and in the case of a Mormon, upon their church as well. And I think it would also be just as shameful for a Christian to think that too. I know my shortcomings. I know that as far as my shortcomings are concerned, it might not bring public scandal. But you know what? In the back of my head, I know my sin is probably a scandal to God, and I certainly don't want that. I want to change those things. I don't want to have God look down upon me as someone who doesn't seem to care about these things. I certainly do. The problem is that perfection that the Mormon often feels that they must achieve is not something that I feel I have to achieve.
What do we naturally do? We like to compare ourselves to others. And this is where we like to pull out Hitler. Or we like to pull out the people in the newspaper who are pedophiles or murderers or whatever they might be.
You're right. It's easy to point to people like that.
And then we can say, I'm so much better than they are. And this is the problem with trying to say you have good works, that you are doing what you're supposed to do, because nobody can do it. All your righteous acts are like filthy rags, as I mentioned earlier, Isaiah 64:6. And we need to understand that, yes, maybe compared to them, you might look better, but there's a lot of other people we can compare you with, and you're going to look like a pretty bad person.
Moeller goes on to say the theological temptation of moralism is one many Christians and churches find it difficult to resist. The danger is that the church will communicate by both direct and indirect means that what God expects of fallen humanity is moral improvement. In doing so, the church subverts the gospel and communicates a false gospel to a fallen world. I understand what he's saying here, because you and I have both preached from behind pulpits and we have talked on subjects other than Mormonism. And it can be easy when talking about the sanctification of the believer. If we don't do it properly, we could give the mistaken notion that somehow this is what you need to do in order to get the approval of God. And no, it certainly is something that we should keep in the back of our heads, that we want to be approved by God, but that's not what does it. That's not what does it. That's the result of already being approved by God. We don't want to subvert the good news of the gospel by communicating a false gospel that somehow improving yourself is going to make everything about you okay in the eyes of an all-holy God. Tomorrow we're going to continue looking at this article by Dr. Albert Moeller, Moralism is Not the Gospel, but Many Christians Think It Is.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.